You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Duncan in for Beth Ruyak. The U.S. Supreme Court has heard 63 cases this term and ruled in all but 14 of them. One of those pending cases has free speech and labor activists wondering how the court might rule. The case is called Janus versus American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, Council 31. Supreme Court watchers are expecting a decision in the Janus case any day now. In the Janus case, the court will decide whether agency shop agreements can be invalidated under the First Amendment. The court considered this question two terms ago in another case, Fredericks versus California Teachers Association. Here to talk with me about the current case is the lead plaintiff of the prior case, Rebecca Fredericks. Rebecca, welcome to Insight.
Thanks so much. It's great to be here.
Also joining her is Vincent Vernuccio, also known as Vinny, right?
Hey, thanks, Beth.
A senior fellow with the Mackinac, is that correct?
Mackinac.
Mackinac Center for Public Policy in Michigan. Vincent, Vinny, welcome to Insight. Rebecca, in your case, you challenged the agency shop agreement as a member of your teachers' union. So how do they actually work for teachers and other public sector employees?
Well, that's really the problem. Most teachers really appreciate their local association, teachers hanging out together, doing what's right. But we're all forced to fund the state and national unions. And just so your listeners understand, $1,000 a year in annual dues will be split. 656 of that goes to the California Teachers Association, 187 to the National Education Association, and the local keeps 157 bucks. And we're supposed to get things done with that small amount of money. And then when we go and ask the state and national to be accountable to us, they're not. So I served as a leader on my local board. And when we asked for accountability, we were not only bullied, but we were silenced. And we were told that if we didn't agree with their way of doing things, then there was something wrong with us.
Do you know how the teachers' unions spend the money?
Oh, yes. Yes and no. It's very difficult to see the numbers. Even as a leader on the executive board, I was never allowed to see state or national financials. And as if you become a fee payer, you have this opportunity to go to an audit every year and you can look at the numbers. I've had friends go to that audit and they walk into a room of these massive tables with stacks 2 to 8 inches high of paperwork. They give you 1 hour to look at that paperwork and then you're supposed to be able to ask questions about how they're spending their money. So no, we don't really have any, there's no transparency in how that money is spent. What do we think? A lot of it's going to politics.
Mm-hmm. Is it more about the financial burden or is it just more about the politics?
Yeah, it's the politics. It's not the financial burden. Most workers understand if someone's really going to help us to stand together, they don't mind paying a fee or dues. That's not the issue at all. It's the way the money's being spent. And teachers are actually being silenced. And unfortunately, a lot of what they're doing is actually bringing harm to our students.
Vincent, let's start out by discussing the scope of who might be impacted. We're talking about millions, as I understand it. How many states permit these agency shop agreements?
Sure. There are 22 non-right-to-work states, so that's 22 states where unions can actually get workers fired if they refuse to pay them, and that's really what the heart of the agency fees are.
How many workers are covered?
You're talking about 5 to 5.5 million public employees. And once again, this case only deals with government unions and mm-hmm. public employees. Like Rebecca said, it's all about the politics. Essentially, what Mark Janus, who is a government employee from Illinois, is arguing is that everything that his union is doing is political. He's saying that even if they're negotiating for higher wages, where does that money come from? It comes from your tax dollars and mine. If they're talking about having a longer or shorter school day, that's policy. So what Mark Janus is arguing is that everything that government unions do is inherently political, and he shouldn't be forced to pay for politics that he does not agree with.
Rebecca, was your argument to the court through your lawyers that basically every activity by a union is a political activity?
Yes, the basic argument was that collective bargaining in the public sector is political. And I'll just tell you a story to help the listeners to understand this. When I was a leader, during the downturn of the economy, we had several teachers we were told were going to be laid off. And we as teachers had discussed possibly taking a pay cut to save their jobs. So we spoke to the district leadership and they said, yeah, maybe a 3% pay cut could save jobs. We went to the union board and they told us, no, they wouldn't even have the conversation. Teachers won't go for that. Nagged and nagged and nagged. Long story short, after months of begging for us to be represented by ourselves to take a pay cut to save the jobs of these great teachers and keep class sizes down, the union looked at me and said, Rebecca, don't worry about those teachers. The union's going to take care of them. We're going to give them a seminar on how to get unemployment benefits. All of those teachers lost their jobs, and all of the children lost those great teachers. So that's a policy issue right there. And that's an issue that impacts every single child in every single school that lost teachers at that point. So we think that's wrong. And that's why we brought our case.
So in the big picture, there are a lot of people that are really worried about the elimination of agency shop agreements and how that might affect teachers as a whole and how it could affect the pay for teachers and eliminate jobs. So how do you address the fears from those folks that are very concerned about not having the representation?
Yeah, they have those fears because the union has told them to have those fears. Those are basically union talking points. Like I just said, my friends all lost their jobs because of the union. If we didn't have that state and national union there interfering, I believe we could have saved their jobs. Our administration of our district was ready to save their jobs. So, the way I would address that is teachers have been silenced. And we need to regain our voices and regain our autonomy. We are capable of running schools with parents. Parents have been silenced, too. So actually, I think a lot of good could come from this. Could state and national unions lose a lot of the money that they're spending on politics? Yes. And I think state and national unions, if they want to keep our business, should stop doing that, should listen to the employee, and maybe then they wouldn't have to worry. But I think wages will be great. I think that the public understands that teachers are important and they want to pay us well if we care about the kids.
And the case itself has nothing to do with collective bargaining and what government unions can bargain over. It doesn't have to do with wages, working conditions, hours, benefits. All of that is exactly the same no matter how Janice comes down. The only difference is that public employees like Rebecca, like Janice, will no longer have to pay a union simply to keep their job. And that's really all this is about. It's about a First Amendment issue, but collective bargaining, wages, all that will stay exactly the same.
And so the people that are opposed to this on the other side would say, well, it's going to be ongoing. So basically, they're getting a free ride then. They're going to get the representation, but they're not going to have anything come out of their paycheck.
Right. And I think what those folks don't understand is I never asked for this kind of representation. I want to represent, when I was a leader, I wanted to represent those teachers. I didn't want them to lose their jobs. I've watched teachers abuse little children, grab them and scream in their faces, and we couldn't get rid of those teachers because of tenure and collectively bargained grievance procedures. I just think that teachers and parents and the local community should be working together to improve our schools, to do what's right for workers, not some faraway state and national organization. They call me a free rider all the time. But the truth is they're free riding off of me. They're taking, I told you, $656 a year to the California Teachers Association, but they won't even answer my questions. I can't look at their books, and they bully me. So I think they're really the free riders, and I think we'd be better off without them.
And so if they say, instead of trying to change this system that perhaps they agree with, why not just go work in a private school? Why, you don't have to work in a public sector. Why not just work for schools that don't have unions?
Wow. I think the problem with that is there's so many needy kids in our public schools. They need the best teachers. And I have watched, because of union negotiated last in, first out policies, I have personally witnessed friends who were teacher of the year, who were the best teacher in the school, the highest statistics teaching teacher in the high school, lose their jobs because of a union-negotiated last-in-first-out policy. Those students in those public schools need those great teachers. Those great teachers had to leave and go to a private school. I just don't think that's right.
I'm talking with Vincent Vernuccio with the Mackinac Center for Public Policy and Rebecca Fredericks about her 2016 Supreme Court case, and the Janus case was what we're really talking about. That's due to be decided soon by the U.S. Supreme Court. What's your feeling on that, by the way? When are we going to hear from the court?
It could be any day now. I think the next time decisions are coming down will be on Thursday. And then their last scheduled day, scheduled, mind you, is on Monday the 25th. But, of course, they could always tack on days after that. So we will definitely know one way or the other this month. But your guess is as good as mine of exactly when the decision will come down. Could be Thursday, could be Monday, possibly even afterwards.
So, Vincent, some of the critics of this case say it's motivated by people who just flat out don't like unions. They don't think the free speech angle is really the best vehicle to win five votes at the Supreme Court. Is there any merit to their criticism that it's just, you know, you just flat don't like unions?
This is a First Amendment issue. It's about the freedom of speech. It's about not forcing people like Rebecca, like Mark Janus, to pay for politics they disagree with. In fact, at the Mackinac Center, we actually put out a study, Unionization for the 21st Century, that made several recommendations of how unions can improve and can actually grow their market share and start attracting more membership. It's not about union. It's about forced unionism. It's about being forced to pay for a service and for politics that you disagree with. So if it's a question of forced unionism, then yeah, that's a problem. But unions, especially private sector unions in general, no, we actually want to see them grow and thrive, but we want to see them as voluntary professional service organizations actually serving their members and not compelling either themselves or their members to accept representation that they may not want.
Which unions do you think will be most affected by this?
Oh, well, once again, the case itself only deals with government unions. So it's unions like AFSCME, it's unions like SEIU, it's teachers unions, organizations like that that represent public employees. Once again, the case itself does not affect private sector union membership at all.
Rebecca, among your friends, and I'm sure you have a lot of friends, obviously, in the work that you do and colleagues in the teachers union, would most of them continue to pay, do you think, if it were no longer mandatory?
I think it depends on how that union represents them. So I mentioned earlier that we didn't ask for this type of representation where we're bullied and where there's no accountability, no transparency. That's not representation. That's using someone. If the unions, I think, if I were them, I would take the hint. Gosh, maybe we should serve our members. And if they do that, I think most people would stay. Almost every teacher I know appreciates the local association. They don't want to be out on their own. Teachers in particular, that personality, they like to be in the group and they want to have that representation, but they don't want to be bullied and they don't want our students to be harmed. They don't want to fund politics, whether they agree with the politics or not. They don't want to fund politics. That's not what you're supposed to do as part of a union. So I think it's really up to the unions, but I have to say that whatever happens, pretty much every teacher I know would like to keep a local union and would like to walk away from the state and national if they could.
And so, Vincent, if the court does side with Mr. Janus, what's going to be the immediate effect for teachers' unions? Do you think California could become a right-to-work state ever?
Well, the case will make every state in the country, including California, right to work for the public sector, for government employees. What may happen overnight? Employees will have to learn about their rights. The Mackinac Center actually has a website. It's called mypaymysay.com. And I encourage your listeners to go to that. And it's actually about informing public employees about their rights. Unions, especially even here in California, they're trying to get state legislators to circumvent the Supreme Court before the decision's even handed down. Mm-hmm. And they're doing things like limiting the time period that public employees can exercise their rights, limiting them. New Jersey and New York passed laws that narrow the window to about 7 days on the anniversary of when the public employee started. So you can't even ask your coworker and you have to figure out, well, what was 7 days from when I started working to actually stop paying or opt out of the union? So they're throwing up all of these barriers before the case has even been decided. So at My Pay, My Say, the website, we are educating public employees about their rights, and we'll continue to do so after what is hopefully a favorable decision for public employees and for the First Amendment.
And so, Rebecca, this has been a long road.
It has.
What is the result you're hoping for in the Janus case, ultimately?
Liberty. I'm hoping for liberty for teachers and protection of children. our schools are really falling apart here in America, and there's no reason for that. We, you know, we had such an incredible educational system in the past, and ever since the unions showed up, things have been falling apart, and it's because they have this constant focus on their own self-preservation instead of on really representing teachers and protecting children. They say they represent teachers and protect children, but they don't. And my heart is a teacher. I'm a teacher, and I want to protect children and educate them well. So that's my hope, is improved schools and liberty.
That is Rebecca Friedrich and Vincent Vernuccio talking with us about the Supreme Court case 2 years ago that she lost. But here we are with this case that's about to be decided, the decision being handed down within the next few days, as you heard. So Rebecca and Vincent, thank you so much for being here on Insight.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate you coming in. We have more on our website at capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Capital Public Radio.